Well, you've heard last couple weeks the name of a friend of mine, Robert Jones. He had been a mentor to me in biblical counseling, and he's our scheduled speaker for our fall retreat. And he has often spoken of our hearts as being like those of little children. He says, if you look closely, you will see inscribed on our hearts the title, I Wantsies. Now, you've seen these little kids upon spying some kind of toy or trinket that excites them, and then they seek to do whatever they can do to get it. Usually it starts with them asking a parent for the item, and then if it's denied, the expression of I Wantsies grows with escalating volume. You've heard it. I want it. I want it. I want it. And if that crying and whining fails to get them their desired prize, then it's soon accompanied by a flood of crocodile tears, and then maybe even the quiver lip. And if the children are older and more skilled at obtaining their heart's desire, then they begin to list all of their friends who have that item, as they seek to put their parents on a guilt trip with words like, but Johnny's or Sally's parents bought them one, and I want them one just like theirs, if you love me. If we only had to deal with the I Wantsies of our children, we might have some hope, because they still have much to learn about the deceitfulness of their sinful hearts. But the truth is, as adults, we have our own personalized list of I Wantsies that break forth when our Heavenly Father refuses to fulfill our heart's desire. And we know how to rationalize a way to get it. Whether it's our children's demand for toys and trinkets or our own ever-growing, sophisticated list of I Wantsies, we must remember that God describes these inordinate desires that rule over our hearts as sinful lusts, which God describes in 1 John 2:16 as the desires of the flesh and the desires of the eyes and the pride of life. Tonight, as we continue in 1 Samuel, we come to a place where Israel this evening, you'll find, had their hearts fastened by the nations. They looked around them and said that I want what they have. The whole nation, it seems, is ruled by the I Wantsies, as they break forth repeatedly and not only cry out, but they demand that God would give them a king so that they would be like the countries around them. Well, as you hear the cries of Israel tonight, and we'll think particularly what it means to have anybody but God rule over us ultimately, I want you also to ask God to show you your I Wantsies. What are the desires of your heart that are inordinate that you won't be happy until you get them? Maybe it's a job. Maybe it's a boyfriend or a girlfriend. Maybe it's a house. Maybe it's your health being improved. Maybe it's a toy. Maybe it's a... you fill in the blank. And that you will act like the nation of Israel until you get it. Now, as we come to this portion of Scripture tonight, I have great hope for two reasons. One, because as it describes God's people, I see me. And so I hope and I can see that the Word of God is true. That He wasn't talking about just some story long ago and far away of people from a long time and biblical times. But He's describing people just like me and you. And that there's hope for them. And God has a word for them. And therefore, as you listen to His word for them, you hear a word for your own heart, even this evening. So let us pray, and then we'll open the word of God. Let's stand together. We'll be looking at 1 Samuel chapter 8 this evening. And let us pray. Our Father in God, we would be easy for us to say that as we think about the I wantsies, that was long ago and far away as we read this story, or that's for little children. But, O God, with You as our Heavenly Father, how often we act like those spoiled little children. And we won't be happy to get what we want unless You give it to us now. And so we pray, Lord, that You would be gracious by Your word and spirit to speak to each one of us this evening, very particularly about our own lists of I wantsies. And it's not even that these desires are wrong and sinful, but often they're just, You're not ready to give them to us now. And so we look to You tonight, Lord, and ask for Your help and direction because of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Now, as we look at 1 chapter 8, Samuel 8, you'll see that the Israelites are seeking to be like the nations around them and have a king. They've had judges. They had men that God would raise up when there was a problem to take care of it as God ruled over them. And earlier in the Bible, in Deuteronomy, God says that a certain time He would give them a king, but in His timing. And so they're not even asking for a request that's sinful in itself, but they're demanding to have it and to have it now. And so what their real problem is they don't like God and His rule over them, His timing and His pleasure. And they want to have it. So let's read the Word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 8. When Samuel became old, he made his son judges over Israel. The name of his firstborn son was Joel, and that of his second, Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba, yet his sons did not walk in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah and said, "Behold, you are old, and your sons do not walk in your ways. Now appoint for us a king to judge us like the nations." But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, "Give us a king to judge us." And Samuel prayed to the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey the voice of the people in all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that they've done from the day I brought them up from out of Egypt, even to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. Now then, obey their voice, only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them." So Samuel told all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking for a king from him. He said, "These will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of 50, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his servants. He will take the tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and to his servants. He will take your male servants and female servants and the best of your young men and your donkeys and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. In that day you will cry out because of your king, whom you've chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to obey the voice of Samuel. And they said, "No! But there shall be a king over us, that we may also be like all the nations, and that our king may judge us and go out before us and fight our battles." And when Samuel had heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. And the Lord said to Samuel, "Obey their voice and make them a king." Samuel then said to the men of Israel, "Go every man to his city." Thus the word of God.
Amen.
You may be seated. When push comes to shove, you always have a reason for your I wantsies. You always can rationalize what you want. And Israel found a good reason to desire a king like the nations, because indeed Samuel had appointed his two sons to be judges, and they were crooked. They were indeed sinful. We're told in Deuteronomy 16:19, "You shall not pervert justice. You shall not show partiality. You shall not accept a bribe, for a bribe blinds the eyes of the wise and subverts the cause of the righteous." And his sons were acting as terrible judges. They were being bribed. They were making huge sums of money and improving themselves by the way they were judging. But instead of going to Samuel and instead of calling out to God, they just said, "No, enough of this. We know a better way. We want a king like the nations around us." And the response of Israel's elders was not a godly one. Instead of seeking the Lord's wisdom and will, they chose to follow their own desires to be like those nations. Sinclair Ferguson writes this: "Israel asked for a king so that they might be governed just like the nations. What is that? Do you know what that is? To be like the world? Worldliness. They wanted what was around them instead of what God commanded. They looked to the surrounding nations, and what they concluded was, if we're going to be successful, we must be like them." John Woodhouse tells us that their temptation was to put their trust in government that they could see and touch and work with, rather than have the unseen God rule over them. A king offered a strong, stable, and a predictable center of political authority for a nation that otherwise had to depend on an unseen God to unite them. Sadly, that same logic is displayed in the church sometimes when we seek to imitate the practices that make corporations so effective. And instead of ruling the church by elders and deacons, they seek to do it more in a managerial style. But what we see here really is they had a reason for their sin and they rationalized it. "Well, God, since you have given us such bad judges in Samuel's sons, then we can be like the world. Right? How often we say, God, you haven't given me what I wanted, so I have a right to be upset, and I can do it the way I want to do it. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever thought anything like that, but I have. I know how to rationalize my sin, and it's sinful. Next, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 6 to 8, you can see that we need to beware because of your I wantsies, you may find yourself rejected of the Lord. That's what happens here. In the past times of need, the elders from all the tribes of Israel will gather to seek God's will, and he would raise up for them a judge to unite and lead them through all their times of difficulty. But Israel was tired of waiting upon God. And they said that if we have a leader, he will protect us. And did you hear it when it said, we want a king, so what? He will go out and fight our battles for us. Well, the truth is, the king subscripted them, and they had to go out and fight their own battles instead of so many of the battles where God stood in and he thundered, or he sent hail, or he sent bees, or he did so many other of the battles. He won it because he was their God and protected them. As Samuel prayed to the Lord revealed him that the problem was not his old age or even his sinful sons. Instead, it was Israel's rejection of the Lord to be their king. This isn't the first time that Israel sought to be independent. Because if you look at 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 7 and 8, it says this, and the Lord said to Samuel, obey the voice of the people in all that you say, for they have not rejected you, but they've rejected me from being king over them. According to all the deeds that they've done from the day I brought them out of Egypt, even till this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so they are also doing to you. That's been the nature of God's children. This is Israel. One of the reasons we need to pay attention, he's not talking about the Philistines here, is he? He's not talking about the Girgashites, the Amorites. He's not talking about any of the ites. He's talking about Israel, God's children. That's why we need to pay attention. Because as long as God's doing what we want and blessing us, we're happy little children. All right, God, thank you, Jesus. Right? Stuff starts not going our way. And we think, oh, I've got to find my own way. Earlier, God had rescued Israel out of Egypt to become his own people. And he made a covenant with them in Exodus 6:7. I will take you to be my people. I will be your God. And you shall know that I am the Lord your God who has brought you out of Egypt under all the burdens of the Egyptians. God has done that all through the history. He'd care for them. Anytime they had a difficulty, he comes to their aid. And yet not always in their timing or in the way what they wanted. God gave them manna for 40 years and provided water when they couldn't find any. He took care of their needs. And they weren't satisfied. We're sick and tired of this manna stuff. How many of you say, well, I'm not sick and tired of men. I've never had any. But I'm sick and tired of this job. I'm sick and tired of my parents. I'm sick and tired of these children. I'm sick and tired of this church. What? Anybody, no one would ever say that. We struggle, right? Elders, right? I'm sick and tired of those sheep. They bite. This isn't new. It happened with the judge Gideon. In Exodus 8, it says this, then the men of Israel said to Gideon, rule over us, you and your sons and your grandson also, for you have saved us from the hand of Midian. This time they want his sons to do it, right? And he says, no, I didn't save you, God did. He says, Gideon said to them, I will not rule over you. My son will not rule over you. You need the Lord to rule over you. Sinclair Ferguson puts the finger on what our trouble is. He says this, The real trouble is that they were actually rejecting God Himself. They wanted to put their trust in someone else. Now, what is that? It's idolatry. Will they put their trust in the Lord, or will they put their trust in a king? And the people decided, we're going to put our trust in a king. The same temptation comes to God's people in every age. And you have to ask yourself tonight, particularly, am I going to put my trust in the Lord God in my life? Or do I have to have this president? Yes, Trump! All right, baby! Oh, no, not Trump. Right? Well, they're going to change. Kings, potentates, queens, princes, dictators, they change. The world changes. God is the only one who doesn't change and who is for His people. And yet we want to trust in the ones we can see and trust and maybe write a letter to or call and they'll do our bidding. They'll do our fighting for us. The same temptation comes to you and me, whether it's a president, political party, or the government. It's not even that they were asking for something sinful. God had promised that at one point earlier He would give them a king. It just wasn't now. But they weren't about to have it. Maybe you're frustrated this evening tonight because what you want is perfectly good. It's not a sinful desire. But God hasn't given you what you wanted. And so you're going to pout. You're going to be upset. And you might even turn your head away from Him. Because He hasn't ruled over you the way you want. As we go on and look in 1 Samuel chapter 8, verses 9 through 18. Be careful with your I wantsies because God might give them to you. God said, you want a king? All right, I'll give you a king. The Lord reveals to Samuel that Israel's desire for king was like going back to slavery in Egypt when they had to make bricks without straw. I tried to emphasize my words when I was reading it, but did you hear that? When God was talking about the king, it didn't say He would be a blessing. It said, He will take. He'll take your daughters. He will take. He'll take your sons. He will take. He'll take your land. He will take. He'll take your sheep. He will take. He'll take a tenth of all you own. He will take the best of your fields, the best of your olives, the best of everything you have. Then the king will take your sons for war and your daughters to serve in his court. Psalm 106, verse 15, talks about what God sometimes will do in giving us what we want. It says, He gave them the request and He sent leanness to their soul. Because see, they sought to find their treasure and pleasure, not in Him, but in a king, or in a boyfriend, or in a job, or in a better salary, or in whatever it is that we put there. They're not bad in themselves, but they become inordinate. We say, I'm not going to be happy unless I get it. Goes on in 1 Samuel 8, verses 19 to 22. And He shows them that your I wantsies are never a good substitute for God. God had warned them. He sent Samuel, their judge, back and said, do you understand that a king is going to enslave you? You'll no longer be ruled by me. He's going to take. He's going to take. He's going to take. And you're going to be upset because you're going to say, where is it all? And what was their response in their wisdom? It wasn't very long, was it? No. Not having it, God. So what Israel ended up with was a 500 years of a king, a monarchy. in which Samuel's forecast came true. God was willing to give his people over to the misery of their own idolatrous hearts, leading them to the destruction of Jerusalem. And as the people and their riches were carried off eventually for 70 years into captivity, that's where this desire for a king eventually led. Psalm 118, verses 8 and 9, and we find this throughout the scripture. It says this: "It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in man. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes, or in kings, or in presidents. Oh, but if we do, they'll fight our battles for us. They'll give us welfare, health care, Social Security. They'll take care of us from cradle to grave." That comes at a cost, both physically and spiritually. And that's what happened to Israel. God had said very clearly to Samuel, "Samuel, they haven't just rejected you, they've rejected me." You know what happens when people reject me? I want nothing to do with them. I might smile on the outside because I'm a pastor after all, right? But on the inside, I'm saying, "See if I ever visit them again." Probably won't pray for them. I'm not going to smile when I go by them. Yeah, I go through all these things. And, you know, I'm not saying half the stuff I might think, right? Because they've rejected me. They've hurt me. They don't want me. And what was God's response for being rejected as king? Knowing the failure of Israel's I wantsies, knowing the failure of your I wantsies to satisfy and save you, God instead has prepared and provided for you and for me a perfect king. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a leader and a king to actually provide for and protect you and care for your soul to all eternity? Well, friends, you have that. In the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom is not of this world. I can say clearly to each of you tonight that every one of you will be ruled by and serve somebody. Who is it that will ultimately rule over and who will serve you? Will you clamor for the world to fulfill your I wantsies? Be it president or potentate, or job, or friend, or family, or health? Or will you be ruled? Gladly submit to Jesus, the High King of Heaven and Savior of your souls. Let me remind you of his gracious rules. Because even after Israel had done this, he brings them graciously out of captivity and brings them home and gives them a new heart, a heart that would love them in the new covenant. And Jesus talks about his kingship to his disciples. Beloved, if you're struggling tonight, you find yourself turning away from him, you find yourself wanting your safety and security somewhere else, come back, return to him tonight. Confess, "Oh God, I have to have a king, or I have to have, what is it?" Confess it. "Lord, it's not bad in itself, but you just haven't given it to me yet. I want you. Help me, O God." Because he says this to his disciples, and he says it to you this evening from Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28. But Jesus called them. He called his disciples to them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave." And now he talks about his own kingdom and his own rule. "Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." For what was written over Jesus' cross, the King, as he died for the Jews and the Gentiles. And they said, "Take those words off. He can't be a king." No, beloved, that is the way our King is. We reject and rebel against him, and he dies for us. And he calls you tonight, and those things that you are calling on, that turn your head away from him and you say no, you would come and submit and say, "Lord Jesus, would you rule? I know of your tender care because of the cross. Please guide and direct me. I desire your will and your care." Let us pray. Our Father and God, speak to us tonight as only you can by your word and spirit. Show us your perfect and tender care and rule, that we might be loving subjects and be glad to call you Master, because we are your beloved. In Jesus Christ, amen.